The world we know is changing. Welcome to Biotech Nation. Today on Biotech Nation, the second in a two-part series on women in biotech venture capital. We'll hear from three venture capitalists, all from Canaan Partners, headquartered on VC-intensive Sand Hill Road in Menlo Park, California. I'm speaking with General Partner Wendy Hutton, General Partner Nita Shelson, and Principal Julie Papanek. Well, ladies, welcome to Biotech Nation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
I have to say that I know very well some female venture capitalists in this area. I was totally shocked to realize that not only were you three venture capitalists in the healthcare area, you're all working for the same company. How could that be? You take up a big percentage of what's going on in the healthcare investment field.
Well, Canaan has a long-term history of promoting women within, and we've had three general partners out of the 10 investment professionals in the firm, and in our healthcare portion of our practice, 50% of our investment professionals are women. This goes back now from a time when we built the firm, probably the year 2000. So this is not a new phenomenon for Canaan.
Now, Wendy, you've been a venture capitalist the longest?
Sure. My experience spans back 23 years. I was a partner at Mayfield Fund in the 90s. When I did join that firm, I was the first investment professional in the firm that was female. So I've seen a big change in the industry.
Your background to get here, Wendy, to be a venture capitalist, are you in science? Are you in finance? How would you describe it?
Well, a little bit of all. I had a scientific undergraduate degree, but I spent 7 years on the entrepreneurial side, actually working for venture-backed companies, both in med tech and in biopharm for 7 years. And I was in business development and marketing, bringing new technologies to the market.
Now, that's similar to your experience, is it not, Nina?
Somewhat. I became a bit of an accidental tourist into the finance side of healthcare. I also had a science undergrad and thought I would be med school bound and began my career in health policy at the Kaiser Family Foundation. And I sort of like to joke I didn't get very far in my career because that job was on Sand Hill Road, about two blocks from where I am now with Canaan.
We have nonprofit like a stone's throw from where all the venture capital funds are.
Well, they support their endowment by leasing space to the venture capitalists. So it's a very virtuous economy on real estate. And then from the Kaiser Foundation, I went to work for a healthcare hedge fund, which is where I got to see a different lens on the biotech industry and the healthcare industry from a finance and a capital side, and saw an incredible opportunity to work with entrepreneurs and to do company building and transition to get earlier and earlier, ultimately coming into venture capital. And while I'm really new to Canaan, I've only been here about 9 months. I spent 13 years with another venture firm across the street. So I've been doing venture for 14 years now.
And Julie, you're the newest to the crowd.
Yes, I am.
Now tell us your background.
So I have been in drug development since I actually joined the workforce. And so I started my career at Genentech here in the Bay Area, mainly working on oncology products, so new cancer therapies. And after going to business school, I was lucky enough to run into Wendy, who was hiring. And it was a bit of a serendipitous meeting. But I actually met Nina before I joined Canaan as well, who had given me career advice. So I was really fortunate both to have Wendy and Nina as mentors pretty early in my career.
Now, you've got 8 members on your healthcare team here. Half of them are women, so we're missing one. She's not here today. So
Colleen, our rock star PhD from Yale.
Yeah, she's busy doing something else.
Holding down the fort in Connecticut.
Somebody's got to hold down the fort at Canaan. So my own experience is that there are times when I'm in groups, I'm the only woman. It's like, oh, when is this going to stop? And then now it's not unusual to be a woman. Has that changed anything? Wendy, I should probably direct that to you.
So we've seen a major shift, both at the venture capital level and the partnership level across the industry. It's very gratifying. Nina hosted a dinner recently for venture capitalists, and we had over 100 female VCs in the room, which was really quite stunning for where we've come over the last couple decades. Secondly, I think what we see now at the C-suite level in the biopharm industry is really a change. You know, people like Julianne Colleen with just tremendous educations and backgrounds in drug development who are really now starting to be at the peak of their careers. So, in fact, we see women filling chief medical officer roles and CEO roles at a pace that we have not seen previously. It's very gratifying to see the change in the last 10 years.
My experience is that when you finally get to a mix of, it could be a mix of male and female, it could be any diversity, whether it is we're talking race, we're talking scientists and non-scientists, anytime you start mixing, you have to get to sort of a threshold. And once you get to that mysterious threshold, past that, then you come into balance and it's just work.
It is just work. And Nina has actually a great recent example of this in her portfolio.
Well, the first investment that I made in joining Canon is a company called Tizona. And with one round of financing, their Series B financing, we brought three women onto the board in one fell swoop, myself and Shelley Chu from Abingworth and Jean George from Lightstone. And Pablo Cagnoni, the CEO, is a very diversity-oriented executive. He believes a lot in developing people. And he wouldn't say that it was by design to diversify his board, but it was a really happy coincidence. He also has a management team that's half female. And so we were sitting in the boardroom the other day. The board is seven members, and one of the male members of the board wasn't there that day. And a female observer to the board was present. So with a half membership of the management team and the balance of the board, we had a room full that was more women than men. For the first time, I think I've experienced that outside of my not-for-profit days or board. And it was just – it was a really charming realization. It was subtle, but it was definitely unique.
Things have shifted significantly.
Yeah.
And I think people need to understand that when a venture capital fund makes an investment, frequently they get a board seat, if not more than one board seat.
We generally take a board seat with every investment we make. So when you see the women at Canon as part of the investment decision making, you are like 50% likely to get a woman on your board. How's that for odds?
Yes. Come on down. We got the women. Yeah. Now, at the end of the day, though, this is still venture capital. We had a discussion last year, Julie, about the kinds of things that Canon is looking for in the healthcare. You want to kick off the kinds of things you guys are looking for?
Sure. I think at a highest level, we're looking for therapies, products, and services that really impact clinical care and the outcomes for patients. And the majority of our investments are in pharmaceutical investments. So we look at new types of antibiotics, new types of cancer therapies, you know, new types of drugs to help people with autoimmune disorders, you know, areas where we have friends and family and others we know that really need more out of their products and services. But we also have been expanding in digital health, which is extremely exciting. You know, how can IT and new services enhance the experience for patients as well as clinicians?
And that's a really nice play, too, on diversification to riff on that point, because Canon is a healthcare fund, but also we invest in tech. We're commingled under one fund. And when we're looking at digital health, it gives us an opportunity to work with our partners in the IT practice, looking at big data solutions, digital sensors and wired technologies. And so it's a great cross-pollinization.
I would say one of our biggest points of focus is we invest early stage. We invest in companies that maybe haven't tested a product into the clinic yet. And so we'll take entrepreneurs and spin a program out of a pharma company that's been shelved or spin a drug out of an academic institution, and we'll try to recruit a management team of top notch around that. And in fact, we did that recently with a program for an antiviral therapeutic out of UC San Diego. And it was a very academic team. And we recruited a female CEO to run that company, Gail Medeiros.
And there, too, I think you have half the management team women.
Yes, over half the management team. The chief medical officer is a woman. Our chief development officer is a man. And our VP of non-clinical is a woman.
There are two paths I'd like you guys to talk about, and we'll take sort of one in turn as the other, unless you want to put them together. They may be integrated. For some, what advice do you give to women who want to ultimately become venture capitalists versus what advice do you want to give to women who want to be startup entrepreneurs, who want to start something because they're actually inventing something or discovering something that could become a product?
Maybe I'll take the entrepreneur. I think general advice to any entrepreneur is stick with it. Really believe in yourself. Ask as many questions as you can. Don't take no for answers. Knock on doors for advice. Network relentlessly. Ask people to open doors for you in building your access and building your kind of insights onto the business. But tenacity really, really wins. No one's going to be a bigger cheerleader for yourself than yourself. So I think sticking with it.
I see that so differently than frequently women are encouraged to be. It's like you're supposed to say, how can I help you? Not, I need help. Can you help me get that help?
Yeah, I think it's really turning that advice on the table. Really think selfishly about what you need to take your business forward. Be very impatient, gracious, but impatient about seeking advice and input because it really takes that kind of tireless determination to couple to. I'm assuming that you have an expertise and a credibility and you have some insight and a justification for pursuing the idea that you're pursuing, but really seek to build the support around you and be tireless in pursuing that.
And if you want to become a venture capitalist, what's the advice there?
So I like to give recent graduates from business school or for scientific programs is the type of advice is there are very few venture capital openings. So you may have a great fit with a firm that you can get a foothold in, but really the most important thing is to get meaningful experiences with great teams and great companies in an area that you're quite interested in the new technology. So maybe it's biopharmaceuticals, maybe it's med tech, but go to work for a company that's actually innovating and be a part of that management team to really produce and understand what it means to achieve milestones within a company. That experience you can take to the bank every time. And when the opportunities arise in venture capital, if you're well-networked in the entrepreneurial community and you're well-networked in the venture community, you can hear about those opportunities and migrate over. Julie was very unusual when she came to us out of Stanford Business School with her MBA. She had 6 years of very meaningful career development at Genentech. She had achieved a lot while she had been there. She had held numerous positions. She had worked on very important drugs that had progressed through the clinic. So she came with very meaningful experiences where when she started working with startups, she had something to bring to the party.
She understood that biotech ecosystem, and I think having that as a reference point, understanding how these companies grow and build, what some of the challenges are, what some of the bureaucracies are, how decisions are made in pipelines and business development, that all, I think, gets gestated as an innate confidence. And you can see that in how she interacts with entrepreneurs and how she comports herself in the business. I think it's great advice.
We've been doing this over 20 years. It's the first time we ever talked about somebody who was in the room while we were talking about him. So
there we go.
It's a good thing because I'm blushing.
So Julie, Julie, what kind of advice do you give the recent wannabe venture capitalist now that you've been in the business 2 years?
Yeah, it's a great question. I actually tell all my friends to try. I actually think there's a lot of really qualified women who don't put their name in or don't ask for the second degree connection like Nina said. I know a lot of qualified women, and I know a lot of qualified women with 2 graduate degrees and relevant experience and may not know anyone at a venture capital firm. I actually feel like part of my job is to try and help those people make a connection. So I am forwarding resumes every week of qualified people, especially to firms where there aren't any women, because they want to hire women. They really do. And then sometimes they just don't have them in their network. So I guess my recommendation is try and get into that circle, try and get into that network that Wendy referred to of entrepreneurs and VCs, because they know the people who can hire. And without those relationships, you can't get the job.
Well, I recently spoke with Sharon Wostek of Astia, which does a lot of women support and women venture capital investing in women's firms. And she said, it's that they can't see you. So you need to work out things so that you can be seen. And that advice applies to anyone. If for some reason they can't see you, you've got to get seen. And part of that is the networking any number of things, you know. So I can understand it, and I definitely relate to the part that says you've got to go get some experience because you're investing in propositions. You have to know something about how companies work in that area, and what's a successful team and what isn't, and who's a successful manager and who isn't. It's not that you're sitting here just giving money away that sounds good. You actually do a lot more in-depth analysis, and it's not like you give the money away and start looking for other people. You're with that company. You're bound.
Absolutely. And I think in the days of LinkedIn, it's easy for people to say, well, what does venture capital really bring except for money? Where are those contacts that I can't get by going online? And I think it is from that time building a pattern recognition set and being able to reference those past business plans, those past challenges with regulatory, with a commercial issue, dealing with people dynamics day in and day out as a director, as an investor, builds a certain set that you can't quite get from an online portal search.
And the earlier you go in the phases of building a company, the more you have to be on the front lines of really a lot of the executive recruiting. And that's an area where networks really matter. Are you able to plug in to the right people to recruit the right teams? And are you able to network and get the real references on the teams? And so that recruiting process early days that builds the fabric of a company is incredibly important. And even if you can take one of the CEOs we backed in Chrono Therapeutics, Alan Levy, he's a 5-time CEO. We brought to bear 3 of his executive recruits through our network when he needed a CFO, when he needed a chief development officer. We made those important introductions, and that's where experience really matters. We're really proud at Canaan of the 13 female CEOs in our portfolio, and we have back 25 co-founders in our portfolio. We're really proud of those statistics.
I would also just say it's been a privilege to work with so many senior women, and it is an apprentice business in as they talk about the network, but it's also about, as Nina mentioned, seeing the patterns. I talk to a lot of women who are the only female in a fund. They are so jealous. And I have to say, I believe it's going to change. I really believe that. And we've already seen it in the last decade, and it's going to continue to accelerate.
When I joined Canaan, I had some other opportunities that I could choose from. So, and I didn't go looking for a firm that had a lot of other women, because if I did, I would have found a very short list. But it is something that was a really compelling factor and is more wonderful than I even expected now that I'm in the gang. But I think that's one of the things that we really have at Canaan as a platform, to be unabashed about advocating for other women. I no longer feel any hesitation in a board search to say we're going to make it a priority to find a woman for this slot. I question when there's a list of candidates for an executive position that doesn't include a number of women, because they're out there. We just need to be advocating, and I feel really proud and confident to do that because it's very much part of the Canaan brand.
Wendy, you've been the venture capitalist the longest here with Canaan. We're going to give you the very last word.
The most interesting tagline from January, when there was a big blow up at the JP Morgan conference over whether women could be found in boards and executive positions and in venture capital. And my last word is, they're out there. All we need to do is try harder.
Well, great. I appreciate it. You guys come back. See me anytime. I want to hear all of your experiences and all of your success. You're always welcome in Biotech Nation.
Thank you so much.
My guests today are venture capitalists from Canaan Partners, General Partner Wendy Hutton, General Partner Nina Shelson, and Principal Julie Papanek. More information about Canaan Partners may be found on the web at canaan.com. That's Canaan, C-A-N-A-A-N, canaan.com. The first installment of our 2-part series on women in biotech venture capital is available online at iTunes and other podcast syndication outlets. For Biotech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.
Tech Nation and its regular segment Biotech Nation are produced at the studios of KQED-FM in San Francisco. Executive producer is Matt Gardner. The director of technical production is Monte Carlos. And audio engineers include Howard Gelman, Seal Muller, and Larry Upton. Our theme music was composed by Ann Nachtrieb-Zesiger and Robert Powell, with title creation provided by NameLab Incorporated of San Francisco. Program information and internet audio is available on the web at technation.com. TechNation and BiotechNation are productions of TechNation Media. I'm Paul Landcourt.